Good morning, brothers and sisters. Trust you're doing well today. Let's come before the Lord in a word of prayer. Eternal Father, we need you. We love you. We thank you for this beautiful morning. We thank you for the truth that your mercies are new every morning and your faithfulness is great. Great is thy faithfulness. Hallelujah. Lord, we just want to say thank you. You're so wonderful, oh Lord. And we praise you. You said, open thy mouth and I will fill it. Do so today, we pray. Open our mouth. We open our mouth, Lord. Fill us. Fill us with good things. Speak to us through your holy word. We pray thee in the holy name of Jesus that you, O Lord, would speak to us. We commit ourselves now unto you, dear Father. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, turn your Bibles to me again, with me again, to Romans 12. There are so many things in these verses. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. So a completely different sermon out of these verses now. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed. Well, hold on, we'll just stop right there. So, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your body a living sacrifice. Have you thought about that a lot? If you give a sacrifice to God, it's given. It's all his. It doesn't belong to you anymore. That's how you're supposed to give your body to him. Yet, we know we keep on living, right? So therefore, we're living sacrifices. We're alive, but we live for him. We don't live for ourselves anymore. We are his, completely, totally his. Living only for him, doing only what he wants us to do. Meaning that we have no more right or authority to say, oh, I'm going to do this because I want to do this. I can do whatever I want to do. No. If we present our bodies to him as a living sacrifice, it means we say, Lord, I am yours, body, soul, and spirit. I do whatever you want me to do. It's completely up to him. And why? Before I get into how we do this, I want to look at why we should do this. Well, for one, simply it commands it right here. Do it. Okay? We've got to do it. Well, you look at the beginning of the Bible, you see God created you. That's why you should give yourself to him, because he made you in the first place. If you had the power to create a robot, who should that robot obey? You? Or should it just do whatever it does? And if you make a machine, you want it to do whatever you made that machine for. You are the creator of that machine. It is supposed to serve your needs. You know, not just do whatever it wants to do. What good is a car that just turns on and drives down the road by itself and goes away? And you can't find it anymore. I mean, what good is that? No. If you would create a car, you'd want to go where you want to go. I mean, obviously, think about it. We're God's creation. We're created for him, not for ourselves. How insane is that? He creates us and then we do what we want? I mean, goodness gracious. He creates us. We do what he wants. Okay. Now, the thing is that he's given us that free will. He could just make us do what he wants. But he didn't want robots. He wanted people who, with their own free will, choose to serve him. Choose to do what he wants. Give up their free will to him and say, Lord, what wilt thou for me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? So, by creation, we're his. And then, secondly, Jesus bought us with his blood. He died for us. We would all deserve to die and go to hell. But he gave his life so we could live forever. Therefore, the life we have, it doesn't belong to us. You know what I mean? Because our life, we were on death row. We were on our way to hell. And Jesus gave his life so we could live forever. And so since our life doesn't belong to us, it belongs to him. Like it says, he died for all. says it in 1 Corinthians. I can't remember the verse, but I can quote it. He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but to him who died for them and rose again. So he died so that we who are alive will not live for ourselves, but for him. And thirdly, it's a hard to grasp concept, but I'll go ahead and say it. Maybe you can understand it. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, and I live no more, but Christ liveth in me. So, you see, why does Jesus' death wash your sins away? Did you ever think about that? Like, he died, but how does him dying take care of my sins? I should have to die for my own sins. Think about it logically. Why does Jesus' death take my sins away? God said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. I sin, I must die. So why do I get to not die? Because Jesus died. Well, here's how it works. God says, okay, yes, you should die, and you would go to hell. And there's no getting out of there, right? Well, Jesus was allowed to die for us, and in our place, in the sense that his death counts for our death. So God sees Jesus dying and says, okay, let's say your name is John. God sees Jesus dying and says, I'm going to count my son's death for your death, John. So it's as if you died. So you don't have to die, because it's as if when I look at him dying, it's as if I'm seeing you dying also. You follow me? So if you died, and God considered it as if you already died when Jesus died. So you don't have to die for your sins, because there you did. Through Jesus' death, you died. So that's why then his life gets to be your life. Now that's why you get eternal life. His death counted for your death, okay? God counted it that way. And so now his life gets to count for your life. You follow me? That's why it says, we died with Christ. In God's eyes, he counted it as though we were dying there with him. So now, he gets to give us eternal life. That's how the sacrifices work. When you gave a sacrifice to God in the Old Testament, it was like you were giving yourself to God. But instead of actually killing yourself, you killed the animal, but God accepted it as though it was you. You follow. As though it were you. And so, that's the third reason we don't live anymore. Because we gave ourselves to God through Jesus. And if we didn't, well, then you're not a Christian. See what I'm saying? You don't get to have Christianity, get to have eternal life, and keep your own life. So when you accept Jesus, you accept, okay, I'm not going to live for myself. If I want to keep living for myself, I'm going to stay an unbeliever, and I'm going to go to hell. I want to be a Christian. What does that mean? Being a Christian means I accept Jesus' death as my death. Follow me? I accept Jesus' death as my death. Therefore, I can also accept his life as my life and get eternal life, which is why you want to be a Christian, right? With eternal life, it's not only about going to heaven, but salvation from sin. That's what gives me this power over sin, is this new life in Jesus within me. I hope these are not too hard and high concept to understand. But it's a fact. I am crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. Remember that. When Jesus died, it counted for your death. So what does that mean in my daily life? It means that I have no right or authority whatsoever. I must surrender all my rights to do whatever I want to do. I must surrender it to God daily. God hears my life. I don't live anymore. It's Jesus who lives in me. Like it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's how you have power over sin as a Christian. It's because of Jesus living inside of you. The old is gone. The new has come. Like it says, our old man in Romans chapter 6 says, our old man is crucified with Christ that the body of sin might be destroyed. See, we enjoy the result of it. Like, wow, I get to be free from sin, the power of sin, in other words. Not that we never sin, but we're free from the power of sin if we're Christians. That's the proof of being Christian, by the way, is that sin does not have power over you like it used to. Now that it doesn't have once in a while, but you're not a slave of sin anymore. Jesus said, any man practices sin, if any man committed sin, but in other words, practicing sin, he's a slave of sin. But if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. That's the proof of it, that we're free from sin. So you can't enjoy, what I'm getting at is this, you can't enjoy just the freedom from sin and still hold on to doing whatever you want to do. No. The freedom from sin comes at the cost of surrendering your will, of surrendering your life to Jesus. Often we want the good he can give without, he gives without wanting to surrender to him. And that's not fair. And God lets us play unfair sometimes. Sometimes God lets us as Christians just go on and do what we want to do, even though it's totally unfair. Because if we got salvation, we must consider ourselves dead with Christ. That's the exchange. You exchange control of your life. You have his life. You follow me? Lord, here's my life, the sinful life. Take it. It's gone. Give me your life, a righteous life. Now I can live that righteous life, be your child, power over sin, and I go to heaven. You see what I'm saying? Get that exchange. Exchange our own sinful life for his righteous life. And it's not theoretical. It's real. It comes out and everybody can see it. And so let's live in that reality today, folks, and the reality that our lives are not our own. They belong to Jesus. And that being the case, every decision we have to make, what my job is, where I live, what I do in the future in my life, what I do today, everything, I should say, Lord, I think this is a good idea. Who I marry, who my friends are, what hobbies I should have, what pastimes I should have. There's a thousand things and small decisions in life. And some of them are small, and God doesn't care, in a sense. You can do what you want to do, and some small, really small things. But there's hardly anything that's so small that God doesn't care. So in every decision, let us have all on the altar. Why should we put ourselves as living sacrifice? Number one, he created us. Number two, he bought us with his blood. Number three, we don't even live anymore. We died with Christ. Therefore, the old us is gone. Therefore, of course, we're a living sacrifice. We don't, the old me isn't supposed to be there, period. You follow me? It's Jesus. It's his life I'm living. So if I'm living Jesus' life, I'd better live it the way he wants. You get me? Jesus doesn't. Does Jesus have the right to decide what goes on with his life? Well, yes, he does. It's his life living in me. Therefore, he is the one who must choose what happens. So in every decision where it's not clear to me, I should say, Lord, what do you want me to do? I am dead with you. It's your life I'm living. How do you want me to live your life? What should I do for work? Whom should I marry? On and on. Lord, I'm yours. You decide. You tell me. My will is 100% surrendered. Lord Jesus, lead. Tell me. Amen. God bless you. See you tomorrow.